Open up your Bibles. Let's hear from God. Let's give him honor by giving our hearts to his word, giving our ears and our hearts and our minds and our thoughts to meditate on the glories of God that make all this possible, that are the reason for all this festivity. We are just wearing ourselves out, doing our best to make something that resembles a fitting response to what we've been given in the death and resurrection of Jesus. So open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, and we will meditate on the glories of God in Christ Jesus in Ephesians chapter 2, 1 to 10. Made alive with Christ. He is risen. The triune God is the center of all that we are celebrating. His work in the person of Christ is at the heart of all that is good and true and beautiful. All life, all joy, all gladness, all meaning, all hope, all significance, all love, all truth, all encouragement, all strength, all power, all might, all victory, all peace, all faithfulness, all goodness, all beauty, all majesty, and all glory is from him and through him and to him to whom be glory forevermore. Amen. We live for the glory of the Father in the gospel of the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's spend some time this morning relishing the truths of God's glorious work of salvation in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. Let's pray one more time. Lord, we are so grateful for you and for your work in the Lord Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. And we are weary and we are exhilarated and we are happy and we are tired and we are joyful. And Lord, give us strength of mind to give our hearts to your word now as we focus on this so that we may worship you aright in Jesus' name. Amen. You were dead. You were not merely sick. You were not merely injured. You were not merely broken. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. There's no sense in trying to soften it and merely talking about all of our brokenness without God. We were dead in rebellion and under wrath. You had no motions towards God. You had no inklings. You had no seeking. You had no hope, no ability. You were the walking dead. And if you've not repented of sin, put your trust in Christ and been born again and given a new heart that's evidenced by a change of what you love and how you live from the roots, then you're still dead right now. And you are careening towards the second death, the lake of fire, and the outer darkness. In your sin, you were following the world and the devil. You were following the course of the world, it says. Not the earth and all of its beauty. No, the course of the world, the corrupt system of life that catches people up in it, the spirit of the age, the zeitgeist. You were just being carried downstream, thinking what everybody else thought, doing what everybody else did, living how everybody else lived, willfully blind to the fact that the course that the world is on leads to destruction. It says that you were following Satan. In verse 2, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience. You might not have known it, but you were following Satan himself. Remember when Jesus told the Pharisees that they were of their father, the devil? So it was with you, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. The devil runs the course of this world, and you were participating in his diabolical plans for such petty reasons as wanting to be thought cool or normal or wanting a girl or some money or some other paltry little thing that you would sell your own soul and follow Satan in order to get. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. You were pulled along with the course of the evil one because you liked little pleasures, little treats, little dopamine hits, little passions of the flesh, desires of the body, desires of the mind. You followed the white witch because she offered you Turkish delight. We all did. And we were under wrath. We were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind, says verse 3. God knows you. God sees. He sees right into the thoughts of your heart. And he's not a senile benevolence in the heavens who just drowsily wishes you good. No, God is the consuming fire. He is the Holy One of Israel, the judge of all the earth. And you were under his holy wrath. The sword of his justice was on your throat as it rests still on all those who haven't repented and believed in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. There may be those hearing me right now who are still under the wrath of God, on whose necks the sword of God's justice sits waiting for the day of judgment. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God made us alive with Christ. God made you alive with Christ. There are a lot of qualifying statements in these sentences that expand on what God has done in a bunch of different directions, but notice that the heart of the sentence is God made us alive together with Christ. Look at it. There's a whole lot of like qualifications and additions and subordinate clauses, but the main point is God made us alive together with Christ. Resurrection. First, Paul emphasizes God's motive. seeing who we were, why would God make us alive together with Christ? He did it because of his rich mercy and his great love. If you want to be rich in something, be rich in mercy. God is kind. He loves to restore what was lost. He delights to show mercy to his children. God loves to forgive dead, undeserving sinners and show us life. And he's done it because he loves us. God has great love for you. Poor, struggling with sin, take heart because God is abounding with steadfast love towards you. And notice when he loved his people. As soon as they cleaned themselves up, he made us alive together with Christ. No. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses. That's where God loved you. That kind of dark picture I painted at the beginning, that Paul painted at the beginning, that's where God found you, and that's where God loved you. Right in the middle of your sin, right in the middle of your rebellion, right in the middle of your wickedness, right in the middle of your death, God found you, and he loved you there with his perfect love. What a God. We love God because he first loved us. He doesn't love you because you're so lovely. You become lovely because he loves you. He doesn't love you according to the goodness he's worked in you. He loved you before he did it, when you were dead. Don't you love him back? And right in the middle here, Paul stops to give us the basis of our salvation, the grace of God. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up. Like he just interjects this little statement, by grace you have been saved. See how he just throws that right there in the middle? It's like he can't get to the grace of God fast enough. He can't emphasize it enough that the salvation of God is by grace. It's his undeserved favor. That's where all your hope rests, in the grace of God. He expands on it in verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. You are saved by grace. You are saved through faith. You can't work hard enough to earn God's favor. You can't pay off your debt. You can't offer him good enough sacrifices to make yourself acceptable to him. You never can, you never could, and you never will. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Nor can you demand his favor. You cannot demand the favor of God. You're not entitled to the grace of God. All you can do is humbly ask in faith. Faith that those who diligently seek him will find him. Faith that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Is it true? Faith that the one who asks receives, that the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. So keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking in all faith, trusting fully that the grace of God in Christ Jesus is available to all who call on him in faith. And it's not like this faith is your part and the grace is his part, right? The whole thing is a gift. That's verse 8. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God. He gives you everything. And so we have nothing to boast about, nothing to claim as coming from ourselves, as being deserving of God's favor and his grace. We will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but we will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Far be it from me to boast in anything except the cross of Christ, by which I have been crucified to the world, and the world has been crucified to me. I don't know how to rightly set the glory and the power of faith adequately in front of us. In all you're getting, get faith. Christian, renew asking God for more faith. This is how we live. My righteous one will live by faith. Exercise faith in all God's promises. See Christ, your Savior, here this morning, here, now, in front of the eyes of your heart. Behold your crucified and risen Lord here, present in power, and throw aside every confidence that's in anything less than the risen Christ and trust yourself fully to him this morning. Leave aside all your fears. Leave aside all your anxieties. Leave aside all your insecurities and your doubts and just trust in the Lord Jesus Christ fully this morning. As he says, come to me, and I will give you rest. So come to the Lord Jesus himself again this morning. Come not just to words about him, but come to the living Christ. Behold him. He's real. He is present in the Holy Spirit. He is with you now to save you and to give you every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Draw near to the throne of grace. Drink the water of life, and drink it always. How do you do it? How do you come to Christ? How do you draw near to the throne of grace? You do it by faith. And so it is that by grace, through faith, God made us alive together with Christ. This is the main point of Paul's lengthy sentence in Ephesians chapter 2. God made us alive together with Christ. We are raised with Christ. Christ is risen. He is no longer in the grave, and you are risen with him. You were dead in sin. Now you are dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. God has made you alive together with Christ. Do you believe it? You participate in Jesus' resurrection now in your inner being. Even though your outer man is wasting away day by day, your inner man is being renewed daily through faith in Christ by the grace of God. We all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. It doesn't take faith to know that we're not perfected yet. It doesn't take faith to know that our bodies are still subject to death. It doesn't take faith to remember that you still sin. As David said, my sin is ever before me. You get all that by sight. But what you need to meditate on and take by faith is the reality of your current resurrection in Christ Jesus, that you are dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Hear it and believe it, so that you can walk by faith in what God says is true of you now, as you walk by faith and not by sight. God has made us alive together with Christ Jesus. Leave the sin behind. And not only have you participated in Christ's resurrection, you have also participated in his ascension to the right hand of God. That's verse 6. So start in verse 5. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ Jesus. That's resurrection, when he was made alive from the dead. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What's Jesus' session in the heavenly places? It's his, he ascended after he rose from the dead, then he showed himself to his disciples, and then after that, he ascended to the right hand of God where a kingdom was given to him. And in addition to being raised with Christ, you are ascended with him to the right hand of God. Do you believe that? Get a hold of that truth by faith. Think about Jesus' ascension. Just skip back to Ephesians 1:19. That you may know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. How much power is there from God in you who believe? How much power? Give me the measure of it. You can't. The immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That's the ascension of Christ. Everything is under his feet. And you are seated with him there. You are his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And if everything's under his feet and you are his feet, then everything is under your feet. Do you believe it? Your life is hidden with Christ in God. All power and all authority is under your feet. In Christ alone. You have come to the heavenly Jerusalem, Hebrews says. You have done it, to Mount Zion, to the innumerable company of angels in festal gathering. That's where you sit. Do you believe it? It doesn't take faith to know that we're still down here. We get that by sight, don't we? But exercise your faith and know and believe that you are alive with God in Christ and you are ascended to the heavens in the innumerable company of angels in festal gathering and the saints made perfect and to Christ whose blood speaks better things than that of Abel. That's where you sit, with all power and authority under you in Christ Jesus. That's why Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them and teaching them to do everything that I've commanded. And behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Do you know that that's why you can command demons and they have to flee from you? Did you know that they were above you? They're the prince of the power of the air. You used to follow the prince of the power of the air, but now you are exalted above him so that if you resist the devil, that ancient serpent all the way back from the garden, who's way craftier than you and older than you and smarter than you, nevertheless, because you are in Christ Jesus by faith, you are exalted above him. And if you resist the devil, what does he do? He flees from you. Not because you're so mighty, not because you're so great, but because you are in Christ Jesus by faith. What glories there are for us in Christ Jesus, and we have to lay hold of it by faith. So we've seen that God made us dead sinners alive together with Christ. We saw his motives of mercy and love. We saw the means by grace through faith. And now let's notice the result for obedience to God. That's in verse 10. We'll pick it up in verse 8. For by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is really simple, but we get it all confused for some reason. But do you see that? Like, you're not saved by your own works, not as a result of works. You're saved by grace through faith, not as the result of works. And then he turns around and says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So you're saved by grace through faith, apart from your works. And then you are recreated in Christ Jesus so that you will do good works, not for your salvation, but really so that you will do them. This is what God saved you for. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. To do them, to walk in them. God has crafted you. You are his workmanship. He has recreated you in Christ Jesus by raising you from the dead. And what did he recreate you to do? Good works. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. You aren't saved by good works. You're saved for good works. Good works which God prepared beforehand for you to walk in them. Look for them. They're prepared and they're laid out in front of you. You see that? I mean, good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The steps are there. Just look in front of you. There are steps of righteousness in front of you at every turn. Just look for them and walk in them. Look for occasions to obey Christ Jesus, to honor God with your new life in him. He loves it. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. God loves your good works. He delights in them. Look for them. Look for opportunities to do good, and then do them in Christ by faith for God's glory. Little tribute offerings, little thank offerings, not sin offerings. They won't work for that. But you can still give him a tribute. You can still say thank you. Given up to God every day for his glory and his enjoyment. Now, we're almost done meditating on these glories this morning, but we skipped over one verse in verse 7. And this is the truth that our full resurrection is yet to come. You have been made alive together with Christ, but there's more to come. Pick it up in verse 6. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Our full resurrection is still coming. Immeasurable riches of God's grace in kindness still await you. Think of all that you've already tasted. Think of all that you've already received from God in Christ Jesus. Hasn't he given you new life? Hasn't he raised you from the dead and given you a new heart and taught you to love him and brought you to life? There are immeasurable riches of God's grace and kindness yet to come. just wait. A day of fullness is coming. This light momentary affliction that accompanies the heavenly glories you taste now, this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. This is coming in the great resurrection on the last day. Now, different people have different beliefs about how it all works out and their eschatology and exactly all the details in the end, but the church has always confessed that in the end, there will be a great resurrection, and all our bodies will come up out of the graves, out of the sea, out of wherever the bodies are scattered. All the bodies will come up, and those in Christ will receive glorious new resurrection bodies that will last forever without sickness, pain, or death. Amen. We all confess that we believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Because Christ is raised from the dead bodily, Jesus' body came up out of the tomb. You can't find his body in the grave because it's not there. His actual body came back out of the tomb and is now at the right hand of God. And so will your body, unless he comes before you die, in which case it'll just be caught up immediately. So will your body come up out of the grave, your actual body, and you will stand before God, and everyone will stand before God and then be brought into everlasting life or everlasting punishment. Because Christ is raised from the dead as the first fruits, we too will raise bodily and have glorious new bodies that will live in the new heavens and the new earth forever. That's yet to come. Even those who've died in Christ still don't have their resurrection bodies. That happens all at once at the end. We all get our new resurrection bodies at the same time at the end, and then we are ushered into eternal joy. Just as Jesus' physical body literally came out of the tomb and ascended to heaven, so it will be with you. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable. This mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. There are glories ahead of us that we can't even dream of. There is a festival that's coming that will put this festival that we've been celebrating for the last several days to shame. This is not even a significant shadow of where we're headed and of the joys and the festivity that awaits us in Christ Jesus. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Amen. That's what's coming. Believe it. Live for it. Set your eyes, set the eyes of your heart on the kingdom to come, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, where you sit with him by faith even now. Christ is risen. You are made alive with him by grace through faith. Everlasting life is just over the horizon. Do you believe it? Lord, thank you for the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God, we can't even begin to fathom all that this means for us. And we get these foretastes and we are filled with hope and joy in what's yet to come. Lord, thank you for the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Seal it to us as we come to your table. In Jesus' name we ask.